Welcome to The Playlist Podcast, a weekly discussion of films and TV. I'm your host, Charles Barfield, managing editor of The Playlist. And this time, I'm here to share yet another recent interview we conducted. We got a chance recently to speak with Russian filmmaker Timur Bekmambetov about his new project, Profile. And since I'm almost certainly butchering his last name, I'm going to refer to him just as Timur. For those unaware, Timur is a filmmaker that broke out in a big way thanks to his 2008 film Wanted. Since then, he's directed a number of features, but recently has been on the forefront of creating and utilizing a new filmmaking technology called ScreenLife. If you've seen recent films like Unfriended and Searching, you know what ScreenLife is. It's a technology that tells an entire story using only a computer screen. And that's the technology he uses with his new film Profile. This time, ScreenLife is used to tell a story of a white journalist that goes undercover on social media to befriend and investigate a terrorist in Syria. Of course, there's more to the story, filled with twists and turns, but avoid trailers, just go check out the movie, it's well worth your time. In our discussion, Timur talks about Profile, why ScreenLife is such a unique technology and filmmaking language, and he also talks about the possibility of doing Wanted 2 and much more. But before I share the interview, I got to tell you that the Playlist Podcast is part of the Playlist Podcast Network, which includes Be Real, The Fourth Wall, Deep Focus, and more. And if you want to find us, you can check us out on your podcast app of choice, whether that's Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, Anchor, Stitcher, or anywhere else you find your favorite shows. Without further ado, here's our discussion with filmmaker Timur B, because I'm not saying his last name. Enjoy. I want to welcome Timur Bekmambetov to the Playlist Podcast to talk about Profile. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Charles.
Yeah, I hope I didn't butcher your last name too bad.
Yeah, I didn't even try to repeat it.
Okay, all right, good. So you're one of the creators, we're just going to jump into this. So you're one of the creators slash proponents of ScreenLife technology, which is used for Profile as well as Unfriended, Searching, and some other films. For those unaware, Profile, like those movies, takes place all on a computer screen. So what is it about ScreenLife? I know you're deeply invested in it, but what is it about that technology that is so exciting for you that you keep finding yourself coming back to it?
It's a language and technology at the same time. Because we spend half of our life not in physical space anymore. We are falling in love, finding new friends, losing old ones. I don't know, developing ideas and just expressing ourselves. But in today's world, it's happening in digital world. Even now, we are not in physical space together. And it's important for me, and I hope it's important for you. And there's no way to understand ourselves without showing our screens, without telling stories through our screens. And we never had this before. It's a new language. It's a new media. And we're lucky to be part of this process now because it's challenging. It's not, nobody knows how to make it. And we, doesn't matter what we make, we will get a good result, even if it's not successful, because we learn. And it's not only language. I'm saying language because ScreenLife, it's like screencasts, but stories told through screencasts. It's a language because it's not the genre. We can tell any story. We're telling different stories, different genres using the same language. For example, we made a Unfriended, it's a horror, like a Searching, it's a detective story. Profile, it's a thriller. We're finishing a disaster sci-fi movie with the Ice Cube and Eva Longoria now for Universal.
Oh, that's awesome.
We shot comedy. we're producing musical now. It's not about the format. Like first, people think, oh, ScreenLife, it's a horror movies on screen. But not, it's a different genres. And we, by the way, we shot Romeo and Juliet and it was presented, premiered at Sundance this year. It's all story happened on the mobile phones on two characters. Mm-hmm. And I think this language will develop, and more filmmakers stepping in and trying to find their own way how to tell stories in screen life. And also we're developing technology because it's like 100 years ago when Lumiere brothers, they used the camera and the screens, and it was all new at that time. We now looking for new instruments because we need to record screens, and traditional screencast recorders, like QuickTime, whatever, they're not allowing us to do it right because when I'm recording, I need to change things during the editing process. But if it's just the pixels, then I cannot move elements. I cannot change. I cannot edit. And we developed new recorder called Screen Life Recorder. We are not recording pixels. We're recording code, generating pixels. We're recording data, generating pixels. And because when we have a data, we can manipulate. We have an access to the properties of this data. And this is two parallel processes to develop the language, to teach people how to make screen life movies, at the same time to develop tools for this type of cinema.
So Profile, I mean, it tells the story of this journalist that goes undercover through social media to infiltrate this terrorist group and find out how they recruit young women. I mean, this is a film that Hollywood could have spent like $75 million on and made it this big blockbuster political thriller. Like, what made you look at that story and think, you know, that's something that should be limited to a computer screen?
First of all, the nature of the story, because this story could be told only this way, you know, because the drama, confrontation and romance, weird romance, happened in digital space, not in physical space. You know, there is nothing to shoot. Like, you will see the two people sitting in front of the screens doing nothing. It's not entertaining, believe me. But when you see the screens of these characters, it is entertaining. It is aesthetically captivating. You know, like there is a tension, there is a humor, and there is a very sentimental, whatever, emotional process, and it's a first, and the second is it just was fun. It was just freedom, you know. When you have a $75 million budget, you don't have a freedom. You have many people scared that they can lose this money. And when you're developing Screen Life project, then it's like a writer. A writer can have a freedom to write whatever you want because it's just paper and pen. It's not the same, but it's almost the same.
Yeah.
And also, there is a great example. We made this movie and released this movie in 2018.
Yeah, we covered it at the festival it premiered at.
Yes, we premiered. We got an audience award in Berlin. We got an audience award in South by Southwest. It was kind of a successful release, premiere. But the distributors, they didn't suggest that theatrical release. They said, oh, this is a cool, very cool movie. It should be on TV or whatever, the digital platform. And because it didn't cost $75 million, I said, no, I will wait. I will wait when the time... We were just a little ahead of time with this movie. We just need to wait for a few years. Well, for a year or two, whatever. And it's just 3 years later, thanks Universal, they understood because they were our supporters on Unfriended, and they bought the movie and they decided to release it theatrically, and it's important for me, and it's happened only because it was not $75 million movie, because with $75 million you cannot wait for 3 years.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting film. Even when you strip away the technical side of things, you're talking about ideas of like terrorism and extremism and, you know, showcasing that human side of the war on terror. And at the center of it is this, like we've mentioned before, this kind of romance between a white journalist in the UK and a militant terrorist who is in Syria. And, you know, without going into spoilers, it's important that Bilal, the terrorist character, is well-rounded. But did you ever worry maybe that you were making him too likable at certain points or too sympathetic? Or was that part of it?
It's his business to be sympathetic, Mike.
Yeah, true.
First, the evil must be seductive, otherwise it's not an evil. And the second is, you should understand that he grew up in London. He is a British citizen. You know, they grew up on the same streets, probably. They sang the same songs. They ate the same ice cream after school. And it's just, and they both, again, the officials, you know, but different ways. She's a liberal journalist, hates everything, like whatever, had the system probably. And he has the same position, but radical and evilish. But they have a lot of things uniting them. It's not only like his macho look, whatever.
Yeah.
It's also their liberal, how to say, position. Maybe, I don't know. It's why you believe her when she's moving towards him.
Yeah.
And sympathy with him. But the story is much edgier. Because at the end, I don't want to tell the story, but it's much edgy. There is a lot of twists, surprising.
Twists for sure.
My stomach was just in knots the whole movie. I'll just say that. It did not stop.
Because you know what? Because it's not because he is from ISIS. Because you really understand and feels how unprotected you are online. Because all fears, what I did, all the tricks, it's about our behavior, like how we behave in digital space. How, like, you're just receiving calls from people you don't want to talk, or you don't know if your screen is visible or not. You know, there's a lot of small things, but very scary. Because in digital world, we're very unprotected. Because we have no idea who's watching us. We have no idea when we're sending message suddenly, like by mistake to the wrong person, and it's ruining our life. You know, it's like very it's a very new world, and we don't have a rules yet. You know, like people dead but still sending us messages, happy birthday, because they put the button send every year. You know, and it's just we're good, where's evil? We don't know in digital space. The phishing, cyberbullying, hating, a lot of the dark net, you know, we're not even talking about dark net, about hackers and selling data and AI totally controlling us now. Like there's a new world and we don't understand this world. And the only way to understand the world is to tell stories. It's not about some smart guys just will write the articles about, hey, this is... It's about some emotional stories like Profile really teaching us how to live in this world.
So, yeah, that's very true. So going back to Screen Life for a second, you actually mentioned a while back that you think the technology could be used for a Wanted sequel, Wanted being a film that you directed some years ago. That is an interesting idea, right? So did you actually have an idea for a Wanted sequel using Screen Life, or were you just throwing that out there?
It's just an idea. You know, ideas cost nothing. it's everything. And I think Mark Millar is the best person to ask this question, if you want, I can ask him, because I will do this only if you'll join me, because it's his world. I don't want to be there without him, because it's scary. We made Wanted. We had a script. We shot the movie, and then we understood that we cannot finish it because there is something missing. Because it's his tone, you know, his personality. And we call him. I call him and ask him to come back and just to help us to shape things. And I think he's a author of the story. And if it will be screen life, I forgot to tell him about it. I will. I think it's a cool idea. I mean, I think it's a cool idea to bend, instead of bending bullets, to bend whatever.
Yeah. I just want to see a Morgan Freeman Skype call.
Yeah.
Him trying to figure out like how to get his.
I will show you, not Morgan Freeman Skype call. I will show you, because we have a funny project. That's a Bible, iBible. It was in South by Southwest premiere this year. It's a Bible. It's a whole book told through screen life language.
Wow.
Huh. And I can ask Alexi. He's on the call. Maybe we can send you just for fun.
That would be interesting for
There's
sure.
There's a Morgan Freeman voice, but it's not Morgan Freeman. It's an AI.
Oh.
And you will never tell.
Shifting back to Wanted, I mean, I know you wanted to make a sequel to that. I mean, any chance of a Wanted 2, of that coming to fruition at any point?
It's what I tell you. I think it's Mark Millar's hands, because Universal will be happy to do it. And I'll be happy to do it because it was fun. And I think it's all Mark Millar. He should say, I have an idea. And I guarantee you that it will happen immediately, because it's one of these projects people remember, and it's not, don't have any sequels, and it's, people want to see this. And all this cast now, like Chris Pratt.
I know, right?
He was a fat guy. Now he's a superstar.
As far as the film you were working on during lockdown, this, at least it's called over here, V2 Escape from Hell. I just watched the trailer for it. It was reported to be shot in vertical aspect ratio for like viewing on smartphone screens and stuff like that. Obviously, with all the talk of.
There was a lot of experiments. First of all, yeah. I recommend you to Google Till Lindemann, Rammstein, you know, the frontman.
Yeah, of course.
Please Google. I shot music video with him for this movie.
Oh,
it'll have fun. He's singing a Russian song in Russian. It's soundtrack of the movie. There was two experiments. First, on this movie. First, we shot it online, like because the lockdown happened, and we were in the middle of production, and we shot with a minimal crew, and I was in a different city, and I directed via internet.
Interesting.
And it's very easy to explain how. Because, you know, in '90s, beginning of '90s, when we invented playback, director was moved from camera to the tent, you know? Mm-hmm. Before, director was with the camera, never seen what's happening, and cameraman was a god. But then in the beginning of 90, end of 80s, beginning of 90s, the tent and the playback and the microphone, camera roll, action, and the whole process changed at this moment. And I think movies lost a lot at this point because video playbacks were bad, and if you see good acting, it means actor is overacting because the video control is good. And today in what's happened with me, I was just not 50 feet away from the camera. I was 3,000 miles away from the camera, which is not difference, because I was still with the five monitors and with the microphone saying, hey, it's a first experiment. Second experiment, first time in the history of filmmaking, we shot 20, 30 minutes of the movie in the game, inside the game. There is a game called War Thunder. Okay. It's a World War II flight simulator. The fights, because we have 30 minutes in the movie, it's a fighting scene in the sky, dogfight. And we shot it in the game with the real gamers, with me directing gamers flying and fighting, and the cameramans were flying with them on another plane and capturing the fight. And then I had like 5-10 takes, the same way as traditional movies, because I had a stunt coordinator, but it was the guy from the game who organizes this scene. And there was a champions of the world, the best gamers flying with us. And we shot the cameramans, and then all the data with the different lenses and take number two. Now you fly there. There was a lot of improvisation, and you never seen before this type of the action scenes, because you cannot fake the cameraman's reactions, because if something happened, cameraman suddenly pans and then missing something and then find something. It's happened in real. It's not animated. It's not like animated movies. It was real stuff. Then, of course, there was a lot of visual effects companies imported this data, because it was all about choreography. They imported the data and they made everything is 100% real and cool and edgy. And we shot in the sky. We shot just backgrounds, clouds and sky and everything. And then all the airplanes were shot in digital space and then imported. This is first time. I know, maybe you know, I never heard that somebody did it.
Yeah, that's insane.
And now we learned. We have a pipeline how to make it. 35 minutes, I think, in the movie we are in the 30 minutes in the movie we are in the sky.
Yeah. Does that have a release date yet? I didn't see.
It will be. I hope soon.
Are you sticking to that vertical format, or is that just?
It's vertical format. Yes, we shot it on a full frame with a whatever. 6Ks or whatever, 8Ks cameras. And we had two monitors, one for vertical, one for horizontal on the set. And with the two different cameramen's check composition. And you don't need even to compose frame 100% when you shoot, because it was a little wider. But on every monitor, like one monitor was like vertical, one monitor was horizontal, and we control frames. And it was not only different compositions, not different crops. It will be different editing, because vertical, we call it portrait, yeah? Like in Photoshop, portrait and landscape.
Yeah.
And the landscape, it was a spectacle, it's an action, and it's for big screens. And the vertical is a portrait. This movie will be more like a portrait, like more like a dramatic story, and it's why these two movies are two products are different. It will be vertical will be 15 episodes, 7-10 minutes each, telling story bit by bit, and it's more about the character and less about spectacle.
That sounds fascinating. Just to let the people know, you are kind of one of those guys on the forefront of trying new things and trying to expand filmmaking. So we totally respect that and are amped to see what you do next. But
I'm happy to be that you are very important, because I can share what I've done. I mean, how I've done it through your media
Yeah, definitely. So we got to wrap up, but I want to thank again Timur for joining me and talking about Profile. And if you want to see Profile, go see it in theaters May 14th. So yeah, thank you for joining us. It's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Ton.
Thank you.
Bye.